Radio Drone.
Do I even need to always say, and it's Radio Drone, considering I just say it in our open there? It's kind of
That's
redundant.
You?
That's me? Yeah, imagine that. As you can hear, Brad and Brian are here. Brad and
Hello.
Brian.
Hello.
Real Brian. Real Brad. We have kind of a divisive topic tonight, but let's get the Adam and Eve promo out of the way. Go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code DROME. You get 50% off of a single item, 3 free DVDs, free shipping in the United States, and a free mystery gift, and the numbers are way down. So if you guys are not using the code for yourself, tell somebody else about the code, or print up a little flyer and put it up at work. Now, I sent you guys a list of just an asinine website that had the 20 greatest cult filmmakers of all time. Did you guys each take a look at this list?
I never read anything you send me.
You've already used that joke before, except you asked me to send you this one, so screw off.
I was kidding. I was asking you ironically.
Oh, you hipster suck you. So did you have a chance to take a look at his list?
I did.
It's a doozy here.
And now I'm not even going to say what website it's on, because why should we give him the traffic our show will generate, right?
Yeah, seriously, do not promote this guy. He's an asshole.
Well, and you saw the way he tried to handle my telling him he's wrong. And I can be derisive. I was pretty diplomatic in my response, wasn't I, guys?
Yeah.
As far as I could tell.
What this guy did is, like I said, the 20 greatest cult movie directors of all time. And he listed them in no particular order. Now, to be fair, there are about 3 or 4 ones on this list that I would consider, yes, they are absolutely a cult film director.
Yeah, there are.
But his idea of a cult film is so twisted that to him, James Cameron and Steven Spielberg and George Lucas would qualify as cult filmmakers. My definition of a cult film would be a film that usually, not always, but usually did not come from a major studio and did not come from a major budget, that failed upon initial release and has a very devoted cult built around it after a period of time. Not a film like Scarface, which he uses as the definition of a cult film, which was a hit upon release. It was a hit upon cable, a hit upon video. It's a hit today. It's more popular today than it ever was. That, to him, is a cult film.
Well, there can be some exceptions in that regard. I think there are plenty of movies that are mainstream, done by a studio, that I think that there are plenty that can still be considered cult films, because a mainstream movie could come out by a major studio, but doesn't it's not a hit, it doesn't find its audience, but then over time does, like something like Office Space.
I was going to use the example of Buckaroo Banzai or Big Trouble in Little China. Both of those were studio releases, both flopped, and they became cult films later.
Big Lebowski, I would use that for. But I also think that there are exceptions too, in the case that a movie could have done well when it came out. Like, it could have done just fine. Its audience is still very much a cult audience. Like, it has an audience for it, can still have the traits of a cult film. Like how Holy Grail is kind of considered a cult film. That movie was a hit when it came out. That movie did fine.
But Scarface?
Scarface, I can sort of see. I don't know if I necessarily agree with it, but that one, I can maybe wrap my head around a little bit. Like, because, yeah, the movie, it got mixed reviews when it came out, and it did fine, and it did well, but it certainly did gain a bigger audience over time, much like a cult film does.
But his definition of a cult film would include E.T. and Star Wars.
That I don't agree with. Yeah, those I don't agree with.
Those are just... See, his thing is, he keeps confusing, to me anyway, a popular film with a cult film. He seems to kind of group them together. And then one of his defenses, because it was really funny, on this website, so many people started telling him why he was wrong that he first locked the comment so nobody else could comment, which I thought was really funny.
Oh, so Donald Trump made this list.
and second, he kept pointing out, every time someone would point out, like, Bruno Mattei or John Waters or
those are cult film directors.
Right.
Those
he kept pointing out, no, those are B movie directors. And he actually called us idiots at one point. You people keep confusing B movies with cult films. And it's like,
they can be one in the same.
Yes.
It's not one or the other. They can be one in the same. A lot of them are B movies. They just are. You know, that's like, say, like, oh, that's not a horror film, that's a gore film, or whatever. It's like, they can be one in the same. Like, so, yeah, there are a lot of low-budget directors, B-movie directors, that are cult film directors. That's kind of how they sort of become cult classics. That's not always the case. There's plenty of big-budget movies done by mainstream companies that later on go on to find their audience and become cult classics. That does happen. That definitely does happen, too, with movies that really weren't made to have a very, very, very huge audience, but then eventually did.
So, Brian, would you agree with us what we said, or do you have a either narrower or wider definition of a cult film?
Wide, no. So wide.
Just gaping. love that word. No, I kind of more or less agree with kind of your guys' viewpoint is that, yeah, typically, like, if I'm thinking of a cult classic is, yeah, I'm thinking of a movie that didn't really find its niche market necessarily upon initial release, but on the secondary market just really took off. I mean, and kind of like you point out, like there are some exceptions to that. I mean, look at the near fanatical fan base that Nightmare Before Christmas has. It did reasonably well when it came out, and it's only gotten more popular over time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, typically when I think of a crowd that, you know, when I think of a cult movie, like that's where like I wouldn't really consider like Scarface, like, you know, using that example from before, because I mean, typically like they have these movies seem to have more of like an underground following, like people, you know, are into them, and you know, they're just kind of like you can find merchandise and stuff for them, but it's not typically just like going to any store anywhere in the freaking country that has like Scarface on it or some parody image of like Family Guy or The Simpsons or Mario. Yeah.
Plenty of movies that are cult movies nowadays that you can go to a Walmart and find a shirt for. You can go to Walmart and find a Jeff Lebowski shirt.
Right, but I think an example of what Brian was talking about would be Buckaroo Banzai. Mm-hmm. Failed miserably upon its release. Keep in mind, this is still 1984 when I'm referring to this. The highest selling VHS of all time up to that point. It found its audience on video on HBO. It did not in the theater, and a cult built up around Buckaroo Banzai. That's a cult film.
Yes, I agree.
So let's take a look at this guy's list. We're going to go in the order that he has them listed, which he says is no particular order. Now, this first one, I didn't have a problem with.
Are you talking about number one? Yeah, I agree with that.
Alejandro
Jodorowsky.
Yes, that absolutely a cult director. I don't disagree with that at all. Then he pisses all that goodwill away with the second one. Oliver Stone.
He's confused. Like, these, you know, there is a common trait with the directors on here, like Oliver Stone, Scorsese, Kubrick, and stuff like that. There's a common trait among them that, yes, these directors have at least one cult film that they have made, whether it's Oliver Stone with something like, you know, like The Hand or something like that, or Scorsese with After Hours. There are directors on here that certainly do have a cult film to their name, but that doesn't make them cult film directors. If they had consistently put out movies, not necessarily exactly like that, but if everything else in their filmography had that same kind of following that those type of movies do, that they had that same kind of response, that same kind of very small audience build up to it, yeah, that would be one thing. But we're talking like one or two movies on these people list. That doesn't overall make him a cult film director. That's like saying Martin Scorsese is a comedic director because he made After Hours.
Well, see, I love his... He lists for Oliver Stone what he calls the cult movies. Natural Born Killers, The Doors, Talk Radio, U-Turn, and Wall Street.
I would agree
what?
With U-Turn.
U-Turn,
I,
maybe. Wall
I,
Street?
I would...
No. Natural Born Killers, The Doors? Not a chance.
They have traits, or Natural Born Killers has traits of what a lot of cult films do. Same with Quentin Tarantino. Segue after Natural Born Killers, but same with Quentin Tarantino. Quentin Tarantino's movies, certainly, and I would say Reservoir Dogs is a cult film.
When we got to Tarantino, I was going to say that's his only one that I consider a cult film is Reservoir.
His movies have traits of them, you know, that they really do. Kill Bill, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, they really all do, but they all start out with their audience, you know.
He has a built-in audience right off the bat.
And I think with him, though, and I'm sure we'll cover it more when we get down to him, but with him, I think it's because he more or less styles all of his movies kind of after all these actual cult films that are out there.
Which, in a way, to somebody who's not in the know, I think is what confuses the whole cult thing. Because Tarantino's films feel like a cult film.
Yeah.
But and I think, in a way, yeah. And this is not me bashing Tarantino, because keep in mind, I love Reservoir Dogs and Jackie Brown. But they're almost manufactured cult films. And he's not the only one that does that.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. I don't think he makes them with the intent for them to be to like bomb and then later on find an audience. I don't think that. I think that his movies, I think that there's a difference in manufactured camp and homage. And Tarantino, I very much consider to be homage to what he's Inglourious Bastard, an homage to the exploitation World War II flicks, a Django Unchained that's coming out. That's what I feel when I watch his movies. I don't look at his movies as manufactured camp. I look at Asylum movies as that. What was that Surf Psycho Beach Party? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that was specifically designed to be camp for camp's sake.
Lost
Skeleton of Cadavra.
Cadavra, thank you. That one. There's a huge difference between that and what Tarantino does. And sure, they both can be homage, certainly. But Tarantino, I think, is very much more in the homage category than he is trying to manufacture, that he is trying to fake something, that he is trying to do something like that. It seems more like he legitimately is wanting to make a movie like that.
Oh, I'd absolutely agree with that.
As opposed to mocking it.
No, see, I'd absolutely agree with that. And I think in some cases, like Pulp Fiction, it wasn't very subtle. In Jackie Brown, it was so subtle, it felt like that movie was a 70s heist film. But it was subtle enough that it didn't come across as in your face.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know if it's any... I don't know if it's any more or less subtle than Pulp Fiction. Where it's obvious what they're doing, I don't think that that's always necessarily bad. I don't think that Tarantino does that bad. I like Pulp Fiction a lot, and you can tell what he's doing with it. Same with Inglourious Bastard. You can with that movie. It is obvious. I don't know if there's anything too subtle about what he's doing. It's subtle in the way that it's not parody. These are real characters. They're real characters saying real things, doing pretty serious stuff. So I don't consider it to be necessarily parody. So I think that it's subtle in that. It takes itself seriously.
Well, then the next on the list, and this is one that I'm a little divided on. I think I think this next guy absolutely started out as a cult director, and in 1986 never went back, and that's David Cronenberg. I'd say all his pre-Fly stuff, absolutely cult films.
Yeah.
You know, Shivers, The Brood, Videodrome, those things, absolutely cult films. But after the Fly remake, he started playing in Hollywood and was making Hollywood movies.
Well, but then that's not all he's made since. I mean, he had Crash and Existenz. I don't know how much of an audience those movies have built up over time, but those certainly weren't mainstream to the sense that The Fly was.
Right.
Yeah, Existenz was one that I've always enjoyed, but it's... I mean, I've never gone out of my way to really enjoy it, and I don't really know many people that have.
One I haven't seen yet. I've seen Crash, and for whatever reason, I have Existenz, and I just have not gotten around to watching it.
I saw it once. I remember liking it. I haven't seen it since, but there was that cool scene where he makes that gun out of chicken bones. That was pretty good. I remember kind of liking it.
Okay, the next we have one. This is the first one that made me go, no, not a chance. This guy's never been a cult director, and that's Stanley Kubrick. I think the guy's a good director. Don't get me wrong.
I think he's arguably the greatest director.
But a cult director? Not a chance.
Yeah, the only one that really kind of has traits of that, even with its audience too, because it has a very select audience, would be Clockwork Orange.
I wouldn't say so. I mean, all of his movies have been pretty popular to the best of my knowledge. I mean, yeah, like Brad said, Clockwork Orange kind of has, you know, a bit of a feel in there, but yeah, I mean, it's I don't know that I would ever even consider putting him on a list if I was writing one down. I mean, it's just an odd choice. Like this guy just chose someone like, well, I really like his movies and they're kind of odd, so obviously they're cult movies.
Well, the next guy, again, this one's a little divided, and that's Lynch. I think he is a cult director, but he doesn't want to be.
Yeah, like Dave, a lot of David Lynch is definitely Eraserhead, Dune, definitely. Twin Peaks is often considered a cult show.
Oh, it is, because it was a failure.
Yeah. So he's got Twin Peaks. That's often called a cult TV series, and I agree with it. But I would consider Lost Highway to be a cult film.
What about Blue Velvet?
Blue Velvet, that really has always kind of had its audience. I mean, obviously, I believe it's grown over time. It certainly had, Blue Velvet's my favorite of all of his movies. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. But it's certainly a movie that was very appreciated by critics and the audience who saw it when it came out. And sure, there were some that didn't like it, but that's going to be the case with any David Lynch movie.
I would consider, like, honestly, I kind of put him in the same category as like Kubrick above him here on the list. Is that, I mean, they're definitely directors that a lot of their movies do have sort of fanatical followings, but I wouldn't really call them cult followings. I mean, maybe with Lynch, yeah, like his early stuff. Like
yeah,
really early stuff, or maybe something like Inland Empire, because even with Inland Empire, that's a movie that was made with no one in mind. Like that was a movie that was just made because he had footage. Like, yeah, it was a movie he made for himself. He's the sole audience for that film. So I don't even really think that you could consider that a cult film, because it wasn't like it was aimed at anyone.
Hey, at least Terrence Malick's not on this list.
I'm actually very surprised.
I would consider him to be a cult director more than I would a lot of the other people on here, because his cult is critics and no one else.
whereas Tommy Wiseau is just the opposite.
Yeah.
Okay, our next one is a director. I love this guy's work. He's made two films I did not like, and I've loved everything else. None of them are cult films, and that's David Fincher.
Fight Club, I would say, is a cult film.
I don't know. Fight Club was popular when it came out. It made money.
Fight Club bombed when it came out. It only made $30-some million. It was very mixed. Audiences were very torn about that movie. Over time, that became very much a classic film of that era.
But Alien 3 and The Game and 7, I mean, he points out... He even points out Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and The Social Network as cult films. No, they're not. No, not at all. I think Fincher, the only two movies he's done I haven't liked, keep in mind I still have not seen Girl with the Dragon Tattoo yet, but I just got the DVD, but I did not like The Game and Alien 3.
I like The Game. I like The Game. As preposterous as that movie is, I like it.
It was fun.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
But it's like 7 is brilliant, but it's not a cult film. Fight Club, I'll kind of defer to Brad on that one. Social Network, I really liked it a lot, but it's not a cult film. Not at all. And the guy, he actually puts in his description, like Stanley Kubrick, Fincher is a visionary that adds a special level of authenticity to every project he touches. So that makes him a cult director?
Every great directors all have their traits as a director. They do. That doesn't make them a cult director. It just means... Like an actor. An actor has their traits and their tics as an actor. It doesn't make them a cult actor.
Yeah, right. If a director doesn't do something unique enough to where you can tell it wasn't just some random person directing it, then I don't feel they were doing their job well enough. Like with Fincher.
Sean Levy.
Yeah. Like with David Fincher. Like every single movie he's done, you can watch it. Even if you don't know it's one of his movies, you know it's one of his movies. Like they just have that feeling.
Our next one is Tarantino, which we've already pretty much hit on. So let's go to the one after Tarantino, which, again, I would have never called this guy a cult director, and that's Roman Polanski.
Again, a guy who has credits to him that I would consider to be cult films, like The Tenet.
But he points out, like, Chinatown and Rosemary's Baby. Those are not cult films.
No. It's what we were talking about earlier with the other guys, too. It's that, yeah, I would say that he has titles to him that are cult films. I don't think that makes him a cult director, especially when a majority of his work, you know, is, you got Chinatown in there. You got The Pianist, stuff like that.
Man, don't get me wrong. They're good movies.
Oh, they're great movies.
But they're not cult movies.
The Two Jakes is more of a cult movie than Chinatown.
And that was a failure. A massive one.
Yeah, it's a guy like it.
Oh, no, I didn't say it was a bad flick. And I'm really disappointed it failed because I wanted to see the 1980s, you know, when Jake moved into the, or would have been the 70s at that point. So I think the Two Jakes was in the 60s, right?
I believe so.
Because the first one was the 50s, and I think they jumped 10 years. They were going to jump 10 years with each movie, I think.
Oh, that would have been great.
Now, the next one, I have to admit, I've never seen anything outside of this guy's Masters of Horror episode, so I'm going to remain silent on Takahashi Miike.
Brian, you've seen more of his movies than I have.
Cult director or not?
I saw, did he do Machine Girl?
No. That was, what's his name? The next guy on the list, Nishimura.
I was going to say, it's probably the next guy who, I would butcher his name anyway.
But no, Takashi Miike, he did like Audition, which I would maybe consider. Like, I don't know how that one initially did over in Japan.
I need to correct myself. I accidentally skipped ahead. I thought you were talking about the next guy. The one right after him.
No.
Yeah, Takashi Miike. Yeah, I've seen quite a few of his stuff.
I've only seen his Masters of Horror, which was disturbing as hell. I'll tell you that.
I'd call him a cult director.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, he's got some good credits. So, like, some of them are definitely, I wouldn't exactly say they're easily
digestible
by the mainstream. Like Ichi the Killer is, it's a pretty brutal movie in all honesty. Like, it's not like the next guy, Nishimura, it's not like his extreme, like, J-gore stuff that he does, but, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely not for most people. And Visitor Q was one I've only seen it once, and it's almost beyond reason. Like, it kind of
is that a good thing or a bad thing though, Brian?
Well, I'd almost have to put it in the same category that I'd put like Inland Empire, in that it's a movie that I cannot tell who the hell the audience could have possibly been for this movie. Like, it's almost just kind of like shock cinema for the sake of it, you know? So, and again, like, it's one, like, I'm sure that there probably is a following for it. It's one of his that I've seen that I'm not a huge fan of, but
so would it be,
sure
would it be
it
safe
does have
to,
somebody.
Would it be safe to wrap Miike and Nishimura kind of together as, yes, those two both do qualify as cult directors?
I'd say, but I'd almost put it in more of a separate category, sort of like how, like, you can distinguish between horror and J-horror. I think it's almost kind of one of those things. Like, with the next guy, Nishimura.
Brian is always trying to put the Asians in separate categories.
You racist, you.
Hey. It's turned around on me.
Yeah, because that's a surprise at this point.
True. Nishimura, his stuff is more like while Miike's is more over the top violence in sort of a surreal manner. Nishimura stuff is just out and out to be the most kind of like raunchy sort of horror you can come up with.
All right. Well, then the next one is a director who we all know I don't like, and that's Tim Burton. I would say he started off as a cult director with the short film Vincent, and definitely his Alfred Hitchcock Presents it feels like a cult film. The Alfred Hitchcock Presents he directed, but Beetlejuice, no. Mars Attacks, no. Edward Scissorhands, no.
Mars Attacks, I could kind of give it to a little bit. I think that he has a cult audience.
I think people that like cult movies tend to like a lot of his, but yeah. I would never like the guy lists Big Fish.
No.
I wouldn't exactly call that a cult movie. Like I don't think there's going to be some theater showing like oh man, we got midnight releases scheduled this week. We got Rocky Horror next week. Big Fish.
Uh-huh.
I can't see that ever happening.
Yeah, I mean his movies certainly look have a look to them that look like a lot like your stereotypical cult film, but they don't kind of get that reputation the same way that a lot of others do. Tim Burton, like I said earlier, he has a very 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 cult audience, but there's a difference between there is a difference between saying something has a cult audience than it being necessarily a cult film or a cult classic, let's say.
And then I'm a little torn on the next guy. The next guy definitely started off with a cult film, but then he moved into the mainstream and he's never really left that, and that's Kevin Smith. Clerks, absolutely a cult film.
I would say Mallrats.
Mallrats maybe.
Mallrats was a critical and commercial failure when it came out.
But Dogma, Chasing Amy, and Zach and Miri, and Jersey Girl, and Cop Out, not a chance. Those are not cult films.
Yeah, it's kind of the same way we were talking about Tim Burton, where he certainly has a very devoted cult audience. That doesn't necessarily make the movies cult films, a lot of them. This one more than a lot of others, I can wrap my brain around a little bit. Because he does, like Tim Burton, he does, I think he certainly does have that kind of built-in cult audience like Tim Burton does. But he has at least done a few that I would certainly consider to be cult films.
Yeah, I mean, I'd kind of agree with that for the most part. He's definitely started off in that realm, like kind of like Brad mentioned, I consider at least Clerks and Mallrats to be...
Yeah.
Cult.
I would kind of say Clerks too a little bit.
But kind of outside of that though, I wouldn't really consider the rest of them.
The next guy, absolutely a cult director up until the early 90s, and that is Sam Raimi. All his 80s movies, absolutely cult films. Darkman, not so much. Quick and the Dead, not so much. Anything Sam Raimi's done since about 1990, I'd have to go, not so much.
I understand.
The Gift?
No, not The Gift. Although Keanu Reeves was surprisingly good in that.
He was really good in that.
He really shocked me with that performance, I have to say. That.
Yeah.
He got me there.
Yeah.
But Sam Raimi's early films, absolutely. I mean, like Crime Wave, that's a cult film. Obviously, Evil Dead 1 and 2, cult films.
Army of Darkness.
Army
of Darkness bombed when it came out. It developed an audience over time, years after it had come out. It was not a popular movie with critics the same way as the other ones were.
But I'd say stuff like like I pointed out, Darkman, Quick and the Dead, the Spider-Man movies, Drag Me to Hell. No,
yeah, I don't agree.
Those
with
are
the
not
Spider-Man
cult films
movies.
At all.
I don't agree with Drag Me to Hell. I definitely don't agree with the Spider-Man movies. My God.
And then. Then you've got Brian De Palma. No.
This one I kind of agree with.
I don't know. First of all, I don't dismiss De Palma right away as, oh, Alfred Hitchcock ripoff like so many people do. I can see what they're talking about, but I think De Palma does have a style, but it very much is a mainstream style, I think.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that it's not cult, because something that's mainstream can still be a cult classic. Something that where a director has a distinct style. Bruno Mattei has kind of a style to him, you know.
Bruno Mattei is to me is a cult director.
I completely agree. Yeah, a lot of cult directors, I would say, have a style to them, whether it's mainstream or not. What we were talking about earlier, something can be mainstream and still later on find its audience after not necessarily doing very well. I think there's a lot of Brian De Palma movies that are like that.
What about you, Brian De Palma? Brian De Palma. That's funny.
Huh. No, I mean, I don't know if I'd really... Yeah, I don't know if I'd really consider him to be a cult director. I mean, he's got a maybe one or two that I like Phantom of the Paradise. I would maybe consider a cult film.
Yeah, I'll give you Phantom of the Paradise. Yeah,
but I would say Body Double. I would say Dress to Kill.
Yeah, Dress to Kill I can get behind. Because, yeah, I mean, that one, I mean, I was negative 3 years old when that one came out, so I'm not sure how that one
I will not give you guys Scarface, though, which is the argument that the guy who put this list together uses.
I'm not saying I necessarily agree with Scarface. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but I can at least wrap my head around somebody using that as an example.
Now, this next guy, maybe when he worked for Roger Corman. And that would be it, and that's Martin Scorsese. Not a cult director at all to me.
Yeah, yeah. Out of all the ones, and I love Martin Scorsese. I freaking love Martin Scorsese. But of all the ones on here, this is one I disagree with the most.
He includes Goodfellas, Shutter Island, Gangs of New York, and Cape Fear amongst the reasons that he's a cult director.
And he does list one that I would definitely consider to be a cult film of his, too. I consider he lists After Hours on here. I agree with that. But also The King of Comedy.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, I don't know. I think the guy lost it with Scorsese because Scorsese makes no sense. And the next guy I'm going to go off on, so I'll let Brian get Scorsese in before I go off on the next guy.
Well, keep it brief, but Scorsese, I just can't see that at all, really. I mean, I know there's sort of a lot of folks that do go for more of your cult films. Taxi Driver is kind of a favorite in a lot of circles, but I mean, it's kind of always been
a
big movie. I mean,
there
was never a point where that one was bad, but it's just, I'd say that definitely like its legacy has endured longer than most people probably would have figured it would. But I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that that's a reason to consider it a cult classic.
Yeah.
All right. And then our next guy, I don't think he deserves to be on a best director's list for any reason, but
Ken Russell?
Ken Russell. Ken Russell is the reason the term "the book was better" was invented. Because he made his entire career out of wrecking great books when he brought them to the screen. He is the reason "the book was better" was coined. And especially with what he did and how he absolutely f***ed Altered States up the ass.
Yeah, but that's a different list in and of itself. That doesn't determine whether or not something's a cult film.
I know, but he doesn't deserve to be on any list of directors, let alone... But, I mean, how many of his films are cult films? Lair of the White Worm? Not really.
The Devils.
The Devils and Altered States. That's the only ones I'll give. And Altered States it made a lot of money, but it was not a critical success.
What about Tommy?
Tommy, I'm on the fence on. That's kind of a 50-50.
I would totally consider Tommy a cult film.
I'll give that one a 50-50.
That one I'd have to come down on the side of cult too. I mean, it's as bizarre as they could possibly make a film. I mean, I'd put it honestly on equal footing with like Phantom of the Paradise as far as like bizarre rock operas go.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily disagree with him being on here. Really, I think he's got enough to his name that can be put in that category. Where I don't know if I consider him to be one of the best, which I guess is what this list is the best. I don't know about that, but if you're just saying like, okay, this is just a list of cult directors, I don't know if I necessarily disagree with him being on here, really.
The way he wrecked, you guys know how he wrecked Altered States, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How he, do you know the history of that one, Brian?
I know I've heard things about it before, but I couldn't tell you any specifics.
Basically, after Network, Paddy Chayefsky, the guy who wrote the novel for Altered States, had in his contract what is now considered something that would never happen again, absolute final say on his own script. Not a single word of his script could be changed without his written approval. Ken Russell decided he didn't like Chayefsky's script and he wanted to change it. So he said, legally, I can't. I cannot change it. So what he did is he went to the actors and said, I'm going to give you my lines. You do them perfectly. And then when you do Chayefsky's lines, mumble them or give massively over-the-top performances. So during editing, they have to use my takes. So not only did all the critics point out, why did they change this from the book? And also, they had to pay Chayefsky millions of extra dollars because Ken Russell's ego said, I want to make this my movie instead of Chayefsky's movie. And he wrecked the novel. He absolutely wrecked it.
Yeah, but that doesn't determine whether or not he's a cult director.
I know. I'm just saying that's – and it came out years later that he directed the entire movie while drunk.
Well, I've directed drunk before, so I can't fault him for that.
But Altered States, thankfully, was the nail in his coffin. He never worked in mainstream Hollywood again. He got banished to TV movies. More or less, you look at like the last 20 credits he did, they're all TV movies in the 90s. He got banished to TV movie hell.
I've only really seen a handful of his. I like The Devils. I do like The Devils. I saw Altered States when I was in high school, and I know that movie has its audience. I didn't really – I was never a big fan of Altered States.
Like I said, Brad, that is the reason the term the book was better was coined.
Yeah.
Because everything he changed was to the detriment of the film because he wanted to make it his, not make a good film. Because he was in that arrogant – he had just come off a couple of hits, and the fact that he was directing drunk probably explains a lot of it. But, you know, that he thought he was that, you know, I am the director. I'm not going to have any writer tell me what I can do.
I could see that because I directed Midnight Heat while drunk and I changed so much stuff from the book.
the book sucked originally.
It was for the better.
Now, this next guy, I'm going to have to defer to both of you. I've never seen a film Darren Aronofsky's made, so...
Oh, yeah? You might actually like some of them. I like Darren Aronofsky, all right.
So I'm going to have to defer to you guys fight over, is he a cult director or not?
Well, I think he's got enough to his name that Pi, I would definitely consider to be one. The Fountain, really, I would. Requiem for a Dream certainly has its cult audience. That actually did develop a bigger audience over, like, it was highly acclaimed when it came out, but it definitely built up a bigger audience over time. Black Swan, I don't know, but I don't think enough time has really passed for that. I can see him being on here.
What about you, Brian, on Aronofsky?
Oh yeah, I would definitely agree with him because I mean, I would put more of his films in sort of a cult or at least cult following status than ones I wouldn't. Cause like, yeah, Pi, Requiem, The Fountain, all ones I would put in there. Maybe not like The Wrestler.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And yeah.
Didn't he write like the first Batman? Didn't he write Batman Begins or something?
No, he was.
Yeah. He was originally tapped to do a Batman film before they went to Nolan. I think he was going to do more of like a Batman Year One. Script.
I just remember reading something about that.
Yeah, his was going to be, it was still going to be a dark reboot, but it was going to be going more off of like the Batman Year One comic, kind of having him start off like with nothing. I think like his first costume was like, just like a stocking cap, like some like catcher's padding and like a baseball bat. that guy actually at the beginning of Dark Knight that's masquerading as Batman was what his movie was going to be.
All right, now the next guy, I'd say not a chance, and that would be Danny Boyle.
I don't know about that. The Beach I would definitely consider to be...
The Beach and Trainspotting, I would definitely say they have very large cult followings.
The 28 Days, 28 Days Later, Sunshine, not a chance. Those are not films at all.
Sunshine, I can wrap my brain around Sunshine.
The next one, these guys keep bouncing between cult and mainstream to me, so I don't disagree with their inclusion on this list, and that's the Coen brothers.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You got stuff like Blood Simple, Big Lebowski, definitely.
But like Fargo was a mainstream hit right off the bat. And so, yeah, the Coens, I don't disagree with that. Now, the next guy, this is the one that really divides me, because you talk about mainstream films that are built around a cult audience, and that is Terry Gilliam movies.
I totally agree with him being on this list.
Yes, because, I mean, 12 Monkeys, Time Bandits, Baron Munchausen, f***ing Brazil, those are cult films. And I mean, Brazil is my all-time favorite movie in any category.
Yeah.
But Gilliam deserves to be on this list.
Oh, yeah, I'd definitely throw in for that one.
Fisher King, yes, Fisher King, too.
Yeah, like honestly, I think the only one of his movies I've watched and never really liked was Tideland.
I've never seen, that's one I haven't seen, so.
I never did see Tideland. I didn't see that, and I didn't see Brothers Grimm either.
Brothers Grimm, I heard he kind of had taken away from him, so I kind of avoided it because I've heard it's not really a Terry Gilliam film.
That one feels a lot more like a studio film.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely overproduced all get out, but
yeah.
And then this guy who made this list added a group of honorable mentions. And the funny thing is almost every one of the honorable mentions are more of a cult director than most of the people he put on there.
I didn't see this when you sent it to me earlier. Really?
Yeah.
This is an actual list of cult directors. Ed Wood, Dario Argento, Lucio Fulci, Jess Franco, John Waters, Mario Bava, Russ Meyer. Yeah. I don't like Lars von Trier, nor do I like Larry Clark, but those two are cult directors.
Yeah. I mean, his honorable mentions are more cult director than his cult director list. Yeah, Hettenlotter, come on. And then when I brought up, the ones I brought up were Bruno Mattei, Avideo Asantis, and James Glickenhaus. And he actually points out to me, Scalps, Island of the Living Dead, Beyond the Door, Tentacles, really? Those sound like horror films, not cult films. And most of those are obsolete. What the f*** does that mean? They're obsolete.
How is a movie obsolete?
Yeah.
Since when is a movie not a cult film because it's a horror film?
His reasoning just, and the films he listed, Scalps, Island of the Living Dead, Beyond the Door, and Tentacles, are all cult films.
Yeah, they are.
It's like, you know, and then the guy tries to keep justifying himself. He has a book, Brad and Brian. He has a cult film book that tells him. He even points out, for God's sake, Wikipedia's definition of a cult film.
You know what? Snooki has a book, so piss off with that.
Exactly. And I actually clicked on the Wikipedia one. The Wikipedia one is so weird. Such as, did you know, according to Wikipedia, Death Wish 2 is a cult film? Not Death Wish 1, not 3, 4, or 5, just Death Wish 2 is a cult film, apparently. What the hell kind of logic is that?
I'm actually pulling that up right now. Like, oh, Battery's not included. Yeah, that's a cult film for you.
Yeah, it's like, do you guys see what I'm saying about how insane this guy's list is?
I'm just now looking that I think Wikipedia is insane, too, unless this guy edited the entire article. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, cult film.
Not really, no.
Not really, no.
Good Lord.
Keep going, Brian. Let's see what else is on there, because I don't have that pulled up.
This is the Wikipedia entry for cult films?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and its sequel.
I would say
maybe,
the sequel.
Yeah.
The sequel, definitely.
Yeah, the first one was a pretty mainstream hit.
Like,
yeah.
some of the stuff on here I can agree with, like Blue Sunshine.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Lieberman, very much a cult director.
But let's
see. The Gods Must Be Crazy.
Absolutely.
The Wall, Blade Runner, I would say that. I agree with that.
But, okay, let's take a look at, for the listeners, the list of the people we just went over that are on this cult film list. By his definition of a cult film, shouldn't Lucas and Cameron and Spielberg and even, for God's sake, Michael Bay be cult directors then? Because by his definition, Transformers would be a cult film. And so would E.T. and Star Wars.
So there's like, some here on Wikipedia. Yeah, Toxic Avenger, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Lloyd Kaufman.
Murder by Death.
Oh, Lloyd Kaufman, cult director. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, my God.
But the fact that he just dismissed James Glickenhaus. James Glickenhaus is almost the definition of a modern cult director, isn't he?
Yeah.
They have listed here, dude, where's my car?
Like I said, Brian, it's Wikipedia. It's Wikipedia. That's why I laughed with how weak his argument was when he cited Wikipedia's list of cult films as one of his defining factors of what a cult film was. When he was arguing with myself and the other 30 people that were bitching at him that, do you know what a fucking cult film is?
There's like, there's a good section on here too of there's one section on here that lists under like so bad they're good cult films. They got some pretty good ones on here. Like totally Showgirls.
Yeah.
Showgirls definitely. Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, Troll 2, Wicker Man, the remake.
Yeah. I'll give you all those.
Mommy Dearest. Mommy Dearest is one of my favorite movies.
I haven't seen that since I was a kid, so I don't remember.
So good. Oh my God, I love that movie.
What do you got, Brian? I heard you kind of stumbling like you were just flabbergasted back there.
Oh, Lord, Zoolander? Is that a cult film for you?
No.
Universal Soldier Regeneration? Does that work for you?
Maybe the first Universal Soldier. Maybe the original.
Sure.
The sequels? No. Is that the one with Burt Reynolds?
He was in one of them.
Yeah, I don't remember which one, but yeah, is that the one with Burt Reynolds or the one where Jean-Claude came back? I don't remember.
I think that was The Return. Bill Goldberg and Van Damme were in the same one. That was The Return. The Burt Reynolds one, I can't remember if that was two or three.
Okay. But like,
Brad, you'll like this one. Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I agree with that. I actually agree with that.
I'll agree that did develop a huge cult following. Shaun of the Dead. Shaun of the Dead would be a cult film. You know,
I'll give you Shaun
of the Dead.
Sometimes the audience, we're talking about cult audiences, and sometimes it is very, very true. Sometimes the audience can certainly make, a lot of times the audience can make something a cult film. Not always.
I wonder what he would have done if instead of like me saying Glickenhaus, if I would have said Lucio Fulci. If he would have been, he probably would have gone, no, he's never made a cult film.
I'm
pretty sure. Yeah, his entire career is one giant string of cult films.
Yeah, The Beyond, no way. That's got spiders in it. That's not a cult film.
It also has an awesome ending.
Yeah, it does.
I love that last 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Is just gorgeous, man.
Even
the Seven Doors of Death version, because the music's totally different, so it feels different. That one works, too.
It does. I completely agree. The Seven Doors of Death version, I thought, actually had a pretty good soundtrack to it as well.
Gates of Hell. The Maggot Storm alone.
Yeah.
That's a cult scene. I mean, good God, zombie. Zombie versus shark. That's probably one of the most iconic cult images from an obscure horror film that's wormed its way into popular culture. They even used it in a goddamn internet commercial.
The chick in Gates of Hell who vomits up her own intestines.
Yeah. Fulci is a cult director, God damn it!
Yes, he is.
So, when I read this list, I just freaked the hell out. I'm like, if this was a troll, it was a beautiful trolling. But the way the guy tried to defend himself,
he was serious. If he's a troll and he did this as a joke, we are officially the dumbest f***ing people on the internet right now.
Yeah, but I don't think he did. Do you guys, after when you read his page, did it feel trollish? Not really.
I have seen some articles that are written like that did turn out to be like April Fool's Day jokes or trolling. So, you know, maybe it's possible.
But the way the guy was trying to defend himself in the comments leads me to believe
he truly believes it.
That's
what you would do if you were trolling.
Maybe. So maybe. But like I said, I'm not giving this guy any extra hits from our site.
Since when does a troll not speak up if you argue against him?
Fair enough. All right. Where can we find Brad Jones?
TheCinemaSnob.com.
Brian Lewis?
Also TheCinemaSnob.com.
You leech.
It's a living.
You can find me at 1201beyond.com and reach the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Have a good night and go out and watch a cult film. Not a fake cult film, people, okay? A fucking cult film. Good night.